I don't know about you. My day started out a little rough. You know, everything was in a hurry. We were late getting out of the house. And, you know, I still have dog poop all over my yards up there where I have a kennel with Bernese Mountain Dogs. Didn't get time to clean that this morning. That'll be waiting for me when I get home. And anyway, I was, Pam and I, we never sleep in. We're just, somebody's up early and gets the other one, and that didn't work out all that well this morning, so we need to start setting alarms or something, but because we're getting old. But all of a sudden, you know, I realized this morning, oh, fast is starting. I get here, my usher's gone, nobody to hand out stuff, and anyway, there's just a lot of interesting things going on. I was like, oh, we better make sure we protect our hearts from getting offended just right off the bat to start off the fast. And I'm just going to tell you from a lot of years of experience, there will be amazing opportunities for you to receive revelation from the Lord, ahas about yourself, things the Lord wants to do in this season, and just a variety of things, but there will also be numerous opportunities for you to get offended at people. So just guard your hearts, guard your minds, and if somebody frustrates you, just go, I love you. I'm going to spend eternity with you. I'm not going to let my heart get all foul towards you. And it'll be probably work out pretty good. We always seem to have a spike in emergencies and things during these fasts. It used to be when we'd bring the prophets into town, our basement toilets would backflow into the basement, and you know it either happened 2 weeks before or 2 weeks after, and it was like clockwork. And so we figured out a natural issue that was involved in that, but also spiritual issues that we needed to deal with to get that not happening. It hasn't happened in years, but. I used to be afraid to schedule a prophetic conference because I didn't want the backflow in the basement again. And we couldn't. I got to the point where we couldn't afford to buy carpet anymore, so we started tiling, you know, down there, so we wouldn't have to do all this. How many of you ever had a miracle happen? I know most of you in here pretty well, and I know that that's true. Some folks that I know have been healed of something physical that was going on with them. Some of you are still waiting for that to happen. Some of you have seen God move in a way that just blew your mind, where you couldn't believe that he opened a door and got you something that you needed that you never thought you could possibly afford yourself or that you ever thought you'd ever receive. Some of you received miraculous surprises. I call those suddenlies, where you're just going about your business and all of a sudden something occurs that releases something that's been hovering over you, and you've known it's been there, and you've kind of given up, and all of a sudden, at some point in time, God opens that door and you've received the thing that you've been crying out for, that you quit crying out for a long time ago. How many of you know the story of how we got this building? The old timers do. Or the original gang members, they know. I'm going to tell it this morning because in my mind it's one of the most amazing miracles that I've experienced. And I've been in India and Philippines and seen people healed of a variety of things. I've seen some people healed here in the States when I prayed for them. But this building's about 18,000 square feet, and it was back in the day. Our church is almost 14 years old now. Back in the day, it was worth somewhere around $1.5 million. It's probably a little more than that now. I don't know. But my wife and I had left Bethel. This was the original Bethel Church here in the Tri-Cities, and they're now over on Keene. We had, for a few years prior to leaving Bethel, had helped them build their new building, and my last day as a pastor on staff there and attending church there was the week before they left this building to move into their other one. And their office, they needed all the office space and upstairs and downstairs in the older part of the building for about a year or so after that. So they weren't selling this. They weren't going to rent it out. None of that was going to happen. It wasn't going to be available. And... So Anyway, make a very long story short, one night I was asleep and I woke up laughing hysterically. Have you ever woke up laughing hysterically? That's just a really weird experience. I think that's the only time that's ever happened to me. And my wife is in there and she's like, okay, what's going on and what's so funny, you know, because now she's awake. And it's a little after midnight, if I remember right. And I said, I have to go now. And she's she rolls her eyes and she's like, what's going on this time? And I said, God's telling me to take a drive. I got to go. And she's like, it's after midnight. And I go, well, I got to go. See you later, hon. So I kissed her goodbye. And I get in the car and he tells me to come down here. Now, at this point, our church has been birthed. And we started out at the Association of Retarded Citizens building. They let us rent it. And then we were at the old Jason Lee building in their auditorium and at the time. And so I'm driving down here, and the Lord, I get down here, and the Lord's, I'm out here on Jadwin. I don't know what time it is now, close to 12:30. And the Lord says, drive through the parking lot and around this thing seven times. Turn on your praise music. This is going to be like a Jericho experience. So I'm like, I hope no cops are around here, and I hope the neighbors don't call the cops. So I crank my music. This is back when I could hear. And I'm doing my seven laps through around through the property. On the last lap, I got out here, and there was this big sign. It was a long plastic, you know, sign that you have made when you're having a special event, and it was advertising a different church. And I had been told that this wasn't available, and that, and they were actually having a special event here, but I found out that there were two men who were in ministry at the time in the area, and neither one of them's in, one's not in the area anymore. And he was on a timeout last time I saw him that God put him on. And the other guy was in ministry. He's not in ministry anymore. Anyway, they were trying to get the building. And I felt like this was my spiritual inheritance because I had served Bethel Church for years faithfully and had done, a really good job with them. And I just felt like, man, this isn't right. And so I get around the corner and there's this sign advertising another church. And I was like, immediately anger came up in me, and it was righteous anger. And all of a sudden I realized there was some evil spirit up on top of the building. It was a mocking spirit. Now, we teach and practice here that we don't go after principalities and powers. We pray to God and deal with God. And if something comes at this level, the scripture says when something comes at this level or the terrestrial level or earthly level, we've been given authority over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy that none should injure us. But I wasn't going after the spirit of abortion over the city or any of that. It was a spirit assigned to cause us to not get this, our inheritance. So I rebuked it. I was speaking in tongues. I have no idea what I said, but it was pretty powerful. And I was told to leave. Well, then the Lord, just like in the scripture, he said to the one prophet, he said, now I want you to go a different way home. So he sends me over to Bethel, and he says, I want you to pray around the children's or the youth building, the youth church, and then around their main building before I send you home. And so I did. I don't know what time it is at this point. I'm tired, but this whole thing's interesting at this point, as you might imagine. And I'm on my way home. We live in West Richland, and I'm driving toward bombing range to get on bombing range. And the Lord said, stop at your mailbox. I go, we already got our mail earlier today. He goes, stop at your mailbox. So I stopped at my mailbox, and I reached in there. There was one letter in there. It was the strangest thing. Either we missed it, or the mailman came back later and put it in there, or it got in there somehow. I don't know. But it was in there. So I pulled it out, and it was a letter from people that go to Bethel Church. I think they still do to this day. They're the sweetest people. Anyway, we were in a small group for a long time with them. And the letter said this. Steve and Pam, we love you guys so much. We miss you. We're so grateful that God's called you to plant here's a $500 check for when you get your building. I'm looking at this, I don't know what, it's 2 a.m. or whatever it is. I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. Now Pam's got to know that I'm not crazy because I have evidence. You know, I can tell her what I did. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, so what happened after that is one day I was dropping off stuff to my secretary at the time. She lived in the housing area back here behind the church. And I had to use the restroom, and I pulled into the church parking lot, and all of the pastors of Bethel pulled in at the same time. They'd all been out to lunch together for their staff meeting of some kind. And I asked the Lord, who am I here to talk to? And he said, Dave. Dave's the head pastor, senior pastor at Bethel. And I said, what am I supposed to say to him? And he said, go in there and ask him how he feels about how you guys left, and ask him if you and he are okay. I'm like, okay, I can do that. So I go in and I knock on his door, and he opens it, and he looks at me and goes, Steve, well, come on in. What's going on? He goes, well, the Lord sent me here to talk to you. And he goes, oh, all right. So he sits down and has me sit down, and I tell him what the Lord said. I'm supposed to ask you how you feel about how we left and if make sure that we're okay. And he started to cry. And he says, yeah. You guys did fine. By the way, do you want this building? I said, well, we have like $1,800 in our bank account as a church, and we have a pretty good deal. We were paying $100 and something a week, to rent the school. The prices have gone up way up since then. And he goes, no, I think you're supposed to have this building. I'm thinking, me too. Let's hear it. So he goes, here's what you need to do. I'm going to tell you how to write your proposal to the elders. I'm thinking at this point, this is a miracle. This is a miracle. So I'm writing down what he's saying. He goes, now here's what we want to do. You need to ask for 6 months to pay $500 a month for this building. And then the second 6 months, offer $1,000 a month. The third 6 months, $1,500. The fourth 6 months, $2,000. And it just kind of a graduated $500 at a time for like about 4 years, because that'll give you time to grow your church. Then you can probably get a bank loan and buy the church. And tell them you put a small amount down, and then try and get it for $500,000+. I'm like, that's less than a third for what it's worth. You know, and he goes, just go do that. So I can't remember which elder I called, but they thought I'd been drinking. And from now we have the building. 1 year to the day I left Bethel, we moved in here. 1 year to the day that we left Bethel as a church, we moved in here. Columbia Foursquare gave us $5,000 for our down payment when they heard what was going on. Other people helped us. Remember, we had to come up with $25,000, and that seemed impossible. Well, we got it. But it didn't come from just all within our church. It came from outside as well. And anyway, we're here. And we need to start taking care of it. That's why I asked George to start priming the pump a little bit. We're not only going to be taking special offerings in May and October for the building, but also for our general fund. Every month, Cody sits down to write the checks, and she prays hard, and she manages to see enough money there to pay our bills. But that's about what we have. And so we've had numerous requests for finances, and I realized that you have not because you ask not. And I'm a terrible leader in the realm of that area for our church, and so I just told the elders at our last meeting, we need to ask the church to set aside their windfall, surprise monies that come in, at least percentages of it, and then we'll do big offerings in May and October. Hopefully we'll have enough money to fix some of the stuff that's going on in the building and get us a start on being able to get a new roof eventually, and we'll have, you know, some stuff. But deep down in my heart, There's more than that I really want to see happen. It's not about just taking care of and being good stewards of what God miraculously gave us, but I think I need to hire a children's pastor here. And I need to find one that has a heart to teach the children how to walk with God in the Spirit and to function in the supernatural. And we need to have a Tuesday night or Thursday night program going on here so that people who are in home groups can drop their kids off here and their kids can be getting ministered to while they're getting ministered to and they can pick them up. It's just time. And when we knocked on doors, many of you don't know this, several of us knocked on doors this summer. Debbie and Mike and Pauline and Brian and Peggy and others faithfully were out there. A few of us were there occasionally. And we saw so many children in the housing and apartments around here. And this is our ground. This is where these are our people that to reach. Within a mile of this building, all the way around north, south, east, west, this is our assignment. That's how I see it. And so we're going to begin to collect money in May and October, special giving, to build a fund toward getting a youth or a children's pastor and to also to begin to fix some things in the building. Some of our prayer has already been answered. If you've got these prayer sheets, I don't know if the guys handed them out or not. Did you guys hand these out too? Everybody get one that things that we're focusing on? To make a long story short, the other churches, the pastors of churches that I pray with on Mondays here, they're going to pay for our church to get painted and help us do it. And we're going to try and get it done before Easter this year. And so we'll be getting some sign-ups for volunteers once we nail down the dates and get a point man for our church and a point man for each of the other churches so that we can cooperate and work together and get the project done. It's going to be a huge project. And I may be approaching one or two of you to help us organize that in the coming days. But going back to the miracle issue, we've been in the sermon series, Gaining the Mind of Christ, for a while. And we're going to stay there for a while, but we're going to focus on how you begin to create a culture, not only within yourself, but in a Christian community like we are, for miracles to occur. And we're doing that because it's God's desire to pour out miracles in his church and outside the doors of the church and through each one of you sitting here in the building and me as well. Miracles are by nature, by definition, supernatural things where God intervenes in the natural and something is healed, put back into proper alignment, put in order. Buildings like this get given through supernatural means. And today we're going to get organized together so that we can create an atmosphere for miracles to begin to occur here. Is that okay with you? Anybody in here need a miracle besides me? I don't want to be deaf anymore. I'd like to hear, and I'd love to hear music again. That would be a really awesome thing. I was on YouTube yesterday because my TV wouldn't work because the wind was blowing. So I was watching the British and American Has Talent thing on YouTube. Those are hilarious, by the way. We were just cracking up. But anyway, I couldn't hear the songs, but based on the reactions of people around me in the room and on there, they must have sang wonderfully. Susan Boyle, do you remember her, the British lady or Scottish lady getting up and singing? She looked kind of frumpy and scary, but her voice was unbelievable. You know, I actually could hear some of what she was singing. I remember it was just like brought us to tears. It's like, what a gift from God. And it changed that nasty panel's hearts in a hurry, too, when she started singing, didn't it? You should get on YouTube and watch it. It's pretty inspiring. And then George, a few years ago, did the flash mob thing from like Belgium or somewhere. Remember that, where people are singing the Do Re Mi song from Sound of Music and they were dancing. And we were watching that. And I was like, that was so cool how humans, when they work together, can do amazing things. Think about when you get God involved. So, point number one, we won't use that anymore. That's really bad. It looks cool on my computer, but that's not good. Okay, creating an atmosphere for miracles, number one. creating an atmosphere for miracles. Certain environments work to either foster or frustrate miracles. We had a guy who attended here for a while who was very angry and involved in a lot of weird stuff, and he didn't like me. And every Sunday, he would come in here and pollute the atmosphere with his attitude. And I would try to work with him periodically, but it wasn't easy. And one day, he got mad and he left, and all of a sudden, the atmosphere is cleaned up. Not too long after that, Jim Allen, one of our elders, passed away. He's with the Lord now. And we were in here doing his funeral, and we had a lot more chairs in this setup because it was a lot of people came. But this guy showed back up again because he respected Jim, and he should have. And he was sitting in the back, and two pastors from the Tri-Cities were sitting behind him. And when I was up here talking, they said he was growling the whole time, literally growling. And I'm like, well, that would be like a spirit. And did you guys deliver him? No, it was too scary, you know. I go, now you know what I was functioning in for a while. And it was my fault that he was here that long doing that. I should have booted him a long time ago. I'm just, you know, just telling you, this is an illustration. You can create an environment for the Holy Spirit to move, or you can create or pollute an environment. Jesus experienced that in his ministry as well. I'm going to tell you about that in a second. In Nazareth, Jesus ran into a foul environment. And you know what the scripture says about Jesus himself in that city? It says Jesus could do no mighty work in Nazareth. That's in Mark chapter 6, verse 5. Whenever I read that, I'm just freaked out. Because then I think, because I go through seasons where I'm evaluating, you know, Lord, am I the epitome of the Peter principle? Have I arrived at my place of incompetence? Am I just messing the kingdom up here? Am I in the right place right now? Because I'm not seeing the stuff that the scripture talks about, at least in the volume I would expect. And then I remember this story. Jesus, there's times and seasons and places where even Jesus himself couldn't do a lot of great things. And that gives me some comfort, just to be honest with you. I realize, you know what? It's not my fault, at least entirely. So we need to overcome the obstacles, point A under point number one. We need to overcome the obstacles. Here's how we do that. We need to all give over all of life's challenges to God for his provision of miracles. How many of you have a scenario that you're hanging on to now and you're mulling it over and you're realizing you can't fix this? Those things are the things that you need to give over to God and begin to pray and expect your miracle about. I have more than a handful of those things. Well, more than a handful. Like probably more than on my fingers and my toes. Second thing is we need to realize God desires to manifest his supernatural power. Do you realize God loves to show himself in that realm? I got messed up in the Philippines when we were there. We were helping a pastor. He had a little Bible school with about 18 to 25-year-old students, and we were helping him plant churches, and the way we did it is we would go into a village, and we would do crusades at night, and he would stick one of his Bible school students in that village 6 or 8 weeks before we arrived, and he would start cultivating some relationships, and then as people got saved and delivered and healed, because all those things were happening, he would we would get everybody's name and phone number that came forward, and he would split them up into 7 groups, and he would meet with them every night of the week, each group. There was a Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night group, you know, so forth. And at the end of 2 months of teaching them the basics of the faith, he had formed the church. Now, we did that, I think, 9 times over the years. And so we were the first crew into the first village. And we get there that night, and it's harsh. The environment's terrible. We've got all these young men. It was a chain link, 3 basketball courts. That was our venue for this crusade in this village. And outside the chain link, there are all these hardened young men and women drinking beer, smoking cigars, and just glaring at us while we're up on this stage preaching the gospel and sharing about Jesus and miracles and things. And my ministry partner that was with me that time was speaking, and the Lord spoke to me and said, because it was invitation time. And so I told my ministry partner, invite the people that are on the outside of the chain link to come and get saved. And he's like, really? Yes. So he did it, and I go, that wasn't good enough. Do it again. And then he did it, and I go, no, that wasn't good enough. Do it again. The third time, these guys are dropping their cigarettes, their cigars, and their beer bottles, and they're making their way in, and some of them are coming down to get saved. The atmosphere started changing when we started standing in our authority, pushing back on the darkness, and looking at these people and loving them and saying, you too. Jesus loves you too. Get in here. Well, about 78, 79 people got saved that night. There was about 300 or so at the meeting. But when it was time for the healing and miracle portion of this, we had a cough, like a knee and a back got healed. Three healings. I'm like, I didn't come all the way from Washington State to see three measly healings happen in the Philippines. I was ticked at God. Seriously, I was just ticked. So the salvations were great, but I wanted to see more than that. Because in third world nations, when you go, they're so hungry, they pull on heaven, and stuff's just happening everywhere. So we get brought back to our hotel. That's a stretch for what that was. There were so many bugs and stuff on the floor and on my walls. There was lizards, and the bathroom floor was filled with centipedes, millipedes, you name it. It's like you're walking in sandals all the time in your room because you're squishing stuff. And I slept with the covers over my head because I was afraid the lizards were going to go down my throat or something. I'd take a shoe and I'd bang the walls. You've been there. You bang the walls to scare them out of the joint, and then they creep back in before you even get your eyes shut. Okay, so I'm in my room. I'm ticked at God. This is. I'm just telling you, that's not an example to follow. It's really stupid. I'm just confessing. That's a confession. That's a sinful stupidity. So I go to bed kind of ticked and just going, why did we not see more? Next morning I get up and he shows me in the scripture what he wants from us. See, we didn't stop and ask him how he wanted to do this. We just assumed we knew. And the passage of scripture he gave me was when Jesus laid hands on people and everyone got healed. And I'm like, well, Lord, we don't go lay hands. We don't even get off the stage because a lot of these places where it's not all that safe. We had bodyguards, you know. And we want people when we leave to just trust you and realize you're the one that healed, not us. And he's like, no, I want you to be my hands and my heart for these people. Get off the stage. Go down and lay hands. Well, I'm going to have to ask the pastor because they're really hardcore about protecting us. And he's like, ask him. He'll say yes. I did. I asked, and he was like, well, you know, it's dangerous and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, yeah, but I feel like this is what the Lord's saying. He goes, okay, I'm going to get five of my pastors to go down with you. And I'm like, that works with me. So there's like seven or eight of us, including this guy, my ministry partner and I. So we get done with, there's more salvations that night than there was the first night, which was cool. And we get down into the crowd, begin to do the laying on of hands, and we saw extraordinary things. My ministry partner reported seeing a goiter fall off of this big one, off this guy's neck. People were running up the stairs to the mic, testifying one after another of the healings. There were 70-something healings that night of pretty incredible stuff. One old lady in her 70s or 80s, she was so cute. She waited till everybody left, and she brought herself and her granddaughter up to me. My granddaughter was about 30. And they both had severe scoliosis, curvature of the spine. And through the interpreter, the old lady said to me that her daughter not only had the bad curvature of the spine, but she had tuberculosis. And I'm like, well, that's kind of a big one. Okay. But I'd just seen, I don't know how many miracles. So I'm like, okay, cool. Let's do this too. And so I just said, I'm going to put my hand on your head, and I want you to ask Jesus to heal you. Because he's the healer. I'm just a conduit. And she's, so do you understand that? And, you know, the interpreter's talking about. So I put my hand on the older lady's head, and I felt all this heat go through my palm. It shot all the way through her body. Her back was immediately, because she was like this, you know, because of her spine. She stood up straight and started dancing circles around me. And then she grabs her daughter and goes, do her, you know, in their language. So I told the daughter the same thing. She was a beautiful young Filipino lady, but she was, you know, messed up. And I said, do you believe Jesus can heal you? And the interpreter's doing that. So I said, have her ask him, and then I'll put my hand on her head. So she asked Jesus to heal her, stuck my hand on her head. Heat shot through her body. She puts her hands over her face. She's embarrassed, and she's giggling, and her back is immediately straight. And she's like all excited, and then she's all this gibberish to the translator. It went on for like 5 minutes. And I go, what happened? And he goes, well, she got healed. Do you want to hear the rest of it? And I said, yeah, tell me. And he goes, she wanted to know if you would come back next year, because she, just in case they need you again. And I'm like, that is so sweet. But remember, Jesus healed. Now they can just ask him like she did. And so he was telling her that. I'm telling you all that to build your faith, but past that, to begin to give you a heart of love and compassion for those who are coming around you who are needy. Because guess what? We have people around us who are needy. And have you ever been needy? Every stinking one of us is needy. We're still needy. I'm still needy. And we need people around us who love us, that we can trust, that will pray for us in faith to see the very things that God wants to release to us and release out in the cities, the seven cities among us. We need to choose to meet every single giant in our lives by faith. Every single giant in our lives needs to be met by faith. We must continually be astounded by the greatness of our God. Has God become familiar to you? Or are you still in that awe and wonder stage, astounded by how awesome he is? You know, you can cultivate that, and we'll show you some ways here in a second. We need to be refusing to be defeated by our needs. Not only do we not want to walk in fear, we need to walk in faith. We need to not walk in unbelief, but we need to walk in belief and truth. And we can stand on the Word of God and do that. Now, would you get me to the next slide? Okay, here's one way to start doing this. If you keep a journal, I hope you guys have prayer journals. It says this in the scripture, look among the nations and watch, and be utterly astounded, for I will work in your days which you would not believe, though it were told you. Now, I want you to say this with me, but I want you to put your name in there, because this needs to get real personal for every one of us. Whether you have a need for a miracle this morning, or you need to be the miracle conduit for somebody, we need to stick your name in there and begin to stand on this scripture. It says this. We'll start 3, 2, 1. Look among your nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, Steve, for I will work in your days which you would not believe, though it were told you. I don't think that was good enough. I think we need to say it again, don't we? So here we go. 3, 2, 1. Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, Steve, for I will work in your days which you would not believe, though it were told you. Kind of like the phone call to the elder after I left this building that Monday. Have you been drinking? He had a hard time believing that this is what God was going to give us. Shake off that unbelief and that discouragement, and you need to claim your miracle. I used to make fun of people. I call them the name it, claim it, blab it, grab it crowd. But if God has told you he's going to give you something, what do you think he's going to do? He's going to do it. He's told me things that he's going to do. He's also told me some stuff that he's not going to do, and it's disappointed me. But he's also told me he's giving me grace to function so that the resurrection power of God can flow through me in my brokenness and in my weakness. It's both things. So if he's told you he's going to do something, he's going to do it. You can stand on that and believe that. Blaise Pascal said, it isn't possible to have a reasonable belief against miracles. He'll say it again. It isn't possible to have a reasonable belief against miracles. Jesus brought them to the rejected, to the poor, to the lepers, to the widows, to the orphans, to the lame, to the dumb, to used car salesmen, to lawyers, to doctors, to children's workers, to mechanics, to people who work at McDonald's, Burger King, in an office, even out in the cleanup, the nuclear area, Best Buy. It's really hard for him there. No, I'm just kidding. Just giving Zach a bad time. If you are a person with great emotional, physical, mental, marital, or social needs, you are a candidate for a miracle. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is still alive. He's in heaven interceding for us. He sent the Holy Spirit to gift us so that we might hear the voice of God and know what God's doing in any moment, that we might receive the suddenlies that are hovering over our heads. It's time for us individually and corporately to start keeping a miracle journal. Cody, would you buy a big red book or something this week and put it on the stage with a nice pen and label it Miracle Journal? It's time for us to start keeping track of the miracles that God is about to do in this place. The more you expect God to work, guess what happens? The more God works. The less you expect God to work, unless he decides to be super full of grace, the less you're going to see. We need great expectations saturating our churches and our services. Before you came to church this morning, what were you thinking? Was it like this? Oh, here's mine. Oh, crud, I didn't even clean up the poop. I got to hurry up and go. Hope the city doesn't come up here and see this mess. I got to do this when I get home. Shoot, I'm going to miss more of the football game. Dang. Maybe I could do the poop later. No, it'll get dark. Okay, there's my thought process. And then there was probably somebody like Angela Beale on the way to church after having a 3-hour prayer time and devotional this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for the miracles that are going to happen today and for the pastor to give a sermon that actually makes sense and it's going to challenge us in the realm of faith. Thank you for the miracles that are going to happen in the Tri-Cities. The seven cities, Lord, are about to come into a new move of the Spirit out of Isaiah 35. Jamie, where was that? Isaiah 35. Was that it? She got that this morning. Numerous intercessors have gotten that in the past. I know that was from the Lord for her and for us. No. If you come expecting, guess what's going to happen? The atmosphere changes. I have spoke at other places, conferences and other groups and things, other churches in my past. And I can tell you there is a massive difference between those who are just showing up to a meeting and those who are coming with expectation. When we were in India, we spoke in front of 600 pastors and wives, and it was electric in there. It was like after some of the teaching sessions, they're running up blabbering in their native tongue. They were seeing angels and lights flashing through the room. And at the end of our 3 days training, those guys, they stood up as one and cried out for like, I don't know, half hour, 45 minutes for revival in their city. And I'm saying crying out. Oh, God, come. Now, 600 people doing that in a room, and it was going on and on and on. Pam and I couldn't even stand. We were held onto the table. We just had to sit. It was just, there's such a heavy presence of God in the room. Amazing stuff happened in and through those pastors, not only during the time we were there, but since we left. They've just really, the Kakinata region's getting taken for God through the gospel. It's an amazing thing. I've also been places where people come in like this. I dare you to say something that's original that I haven't heard before. And I double dog dare you to try and do any kind of miracle here because I know exactly what's going to happen. Nothing. And guess what happened in those places? I couldn't wait to leave. In fact, I was invited to go over to England to speak at a large church. And I asked the Lord if he wanted me to go. And he gave me a dream. And in the dream, he showed me that they would judge me and they wouldn't receive me. So sorry, I won't be able to come to your event, to your conference to speak. Yeah. I only want to be where people are there to see the kingdom manifest exactly the way God wants it to all the time. Now, I'm not like that all the time. Like this morning, I was just trying to figure out what to wear. And yes, Pam didn't help me this morning. I know you can tell. No, I want to be where we want to see a fullness of God coming and moving among us. People need to simply come expecting God to do great things. So what are you believing and expecting God to do in the next 21 days? In you, in the church, in the seven city region. Probably should write those down, huh? And begin to pray them. The Bible says it's not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, that miracles occur in us, around us, and through us. Romans 15:19 says, in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to every region, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. It's not by might, not by power, but by his Spirit. But when we believe and expect, he looks down on that and goes, yeah, that's where I'm going to move. There have been people in our church, you've been having dreams about us becoming a house of God. I had another one last night. It's like the Lord's just wooing and calling us to come into a fullness of an expression that he desires to do here and all the other churches that are praying and seeking his face in this season. Our testimony needs to model this. It's not by might, not by power, but by his Spirit. And we need to know that everything that's good comes from above, and that it's available to us. In fact, he wants to give it because he's a loving God. Miracles happen when the Holy Spirit's welcomed and faith is alive. Is your faith alive this morning? Or is it kind of taking a nap? You know, you can stir yourself up, and you can also, if you're so tired, kind of like I am this morning, you can ask him to stir you up. Both are biblical. Some of you just need to say, right now, we're going to stop. Lord, please stir me up. Say that. Lord, please stir me up. Lord, please stir the church up. Lord, please stir the lost and prodigals up. You know who loves that? God does. You know who hates that? The devil. Do you know he's scared spitless right now? The ones assigned to our region are going to lose their grip, I'm prophesying now. And for those who will choose God, they will be released and set free in Jesus' name. The lost and the prodigals who are hungry, and if they're seeking, they're going to find him. You ever read Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis? It's a senior demon talking to a junior demon about how to keep his prey, which is a person. And it didn't work out very well for them. Thankfully, the miracle that God has for you are hidden in the Holy Spirit. Miracles happen when the Holy Spirit's welcomed and faith is alive. The fact that the Spirit and faith are required is confirmed in Galatians 3:5, where it says, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you Does he do the works of the law by the law or by the hearing of faith? It's by the hearing of faith, isn't it? It's not by the law. Romans 14, 17 says it differently. It says, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy where? In the Lord. It's in the Holy Spirit. Our expectations for miracles usually need some nurturing, reviving, and encouragement. Have you ever prayed for somebody, nothing happened that you could tell, and you got discouraged? Welcome to the human race. I can tell you, I don't know what my percentage is. It's not good. In fact, it's not good enough. That's kind of how I'm approaching it. I'm like, God, that's not good enough. Can we have more? I think we can. We can, but he's going to build your faith so that you can function in that faith and see more. So realize that's a process you're going to be in. We can all recite all the reasons for being doubtful and how discouraged we've become at times when we didn't see instant answers. But we need to stop rehearsing that stuff. Gag it out, puke it out, leave it behind. Flush it. And it's time to say, you know what? I serve a God who's all-powerful, all-knowing, all-good, all the time. And he's told me I'm going to do stuff that Jesus did, and I'm going to do stuff that Jesus did, so let's pray. We're just going to have that attitude as a church and individually. I got the Holy Spirit in me, and God loves me. He loves through me. This is part of the way he does it. So when I lay hands on people who have a need, he's going to meet that need according to his riches and glory, which are infinite. And if I don't see something right this second, I'm still going to believe for God's best in this situation because he has a plan to prosper, not to harm, and to give hope and a future. I feel like Positive Life Radio this morning. Here we go. I'll say this to you. Whatever is up in your face, grab it by the throat and give it to God. We are not victims. We are not victims. Turn fear into faith, unbelief into yes and amen. You and I can this very day begin to create an atmosphere in our own hearts and minds and in our church for miracles. Are you pulling on heaven yet? Are you asking God to give us our portion that he set aside for us today? Number two. A miracle atmosphere takes nurturing. It takes an attitude of expectation which is different from passive negativity. Do you know what passive negativity is? I think you guys know what I'm talking about. I'm not surprised that nothing happened. Never seems to hear anyway. Blah. Do you think that's going to go on in heaven? Well, why would we want that here? Like, that's caca, which is baby talk for poo-poo. An expectant attitude can create an atmosphere that is electric with excitement and faith. You ever been in that? I've been in places where it just felt like it was snap, crackling, pop, and it wasn't cereal at breakfast. This stuff's terrible for you, but anyway, I used to like it when I was a kid. I've been in meetings where you were like afraid to have a bad thought. Because the awe of God was there. I've been in meetings where people flew off of the front row onto the ground and went through deliverances and there was nobody praying over them. Where the whole place was silent and we were waiting on the Lord together. Boom, delivered. I was in another place, in another meeting, where this Asian girl, I think she's from China or someplace, started slithering on the floor like a snake in the row in front of us during worship. And I'm like, I was with this Baptist guy, and he goes, well, she seems to be enjoying worship, right? I mean, no, she's going through a deliverance, but that was close. Yeah, that kind of atmosphere is available to us. all the time. Whatever God would like to do, if we come into agreement with that, if we will, before we walk through the doors of the church every Sunday, Wednesday night, whenever you come in here, do meetings, wherever you go to your home group, your small group meetings, if we come through, before we come through, we go, Lord, have your way. That's all we got. It doesn't have to be complicated. It's like, Lord, have your way. Come, Holy Spirit. Guess what's going to happen? Do you think he's going to ignore that? Not for very long. He might test you and your faith, because he does seem to like to do that. But if you stay in faith, something good's going to happen. A miracle atmosphere is enhanced when belief exists based on what God said. How many of you know when I went to the second crusade night in the Philippines, I was pretty excited because God said some stuff to me about how he wanted it done. So I went in there with a little different attitude and a little different expectation, didn't I? And a little more faith. We can choose to believe because God is with us and he is truth and he's not changed. Jesus made believing one of his top priorities. He said, if you believe, then all things are possible to him who believes. That's Mark 9. A miracle atmosphere is enhanced when we confess God's greatness and speak out his word. So if you're wrestling with faith and you're feeling like you need to build it up, grab your Bible, like Jamie was showing, and start reading Isaiah 35. That's such a good passage. I haven't got it right here, but so if you read aloud God's word concerning the great things he's done and the things that he's going to do, his acts of creation, deliverances, healings, etc., you will have breakthrough. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11 says, for the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Now I got to go to Isaiah 35. Jamie, what verses were those? One through eight? Okay, here we go. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. And say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong and do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, and the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for water shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. Name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. That's the word of God. A miracle atmosphere, C, is experienced in Jesus' presence through the Holy Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's healing. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's love, there's hope, there's joy, there's peace. Ponder the miracles in the Gospels and Acts, and remember Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. D, a miracle atmosphere is a boldness without embarrassment. How many of you struggle sometimes when somebody's got a need and you got to go pray, and you're like, oh, I'm afraid nothing's going to happen. It's just going to be a fruitless exercise. And You know, no. You got a need? Cool. Can I pray? Boom. I was down at this convenience store down the street a couple months ago or 3 months ago. There's a gal. She couldn't move her arm, and so I didn't touch her because I didn't have a female with me. But I just, from on the other side of the counter, I prayed for her. She was just blown away. You know, I didn't. And then I tried to go back and check on her. I don't think she works there anymore. Maybe she got healed in a better job. I don't know. Boldness is a holy thing when we go outside of our comfort zone and declare that the Lord loves and he's here to heal. We must ask for miracles often, pray for them specifically, and declare that the Holy Spirit is here in our midst to deliver them. He likes it when we ask boldly. Number three, a miracle atmosphere is enhanced through prayer and fasting. Oh, well, then we must be doing the right thing now, huh? Jesus prayed and fasted. His disciples prayed and fasted. The first church in Acts prayed and fasted. So I guess we might as well too, right? What a great idea. Make up your mind today that you are going to help establish a miracle-believing and expecting environment over the seven-city region. Start with what's in here, your own heart. Faith is in here. Like little children, I believe Daddy in heaven's going to touch people today. I do. We can go from here to here, creating that atmosphere. And then as we continue to press in and pray, and we're doing this well and this well, this starts expanding. This starts expanding. Can I tell you one more story before we close? It's how the 24/7 room came into being. It started over there in our Sunday morning prayer room that we're not using right now. On Sunday mornings, we're in here. Anyway, John Paul was here, and I told him we needed to move that prayer room, that anointing, that portal from that room out to there. And he says, well, you know how to do that, don't you? Yeah, right. What do you do? He said, go get oil, stick it in there for 7 days, let the properties of heaven soak it. Then, at the end of 7 days, get your intercessors. Maria was there. You remember this? And you go into that room to consecrate it. I remember you standing against the wall. And we got in a circle in that prayer room. All the wall space was pretty covered. We had several people in there. And we asked the Holy Spirit to come. We anointed the place. And all of a sudden, it was like, and he came. And I dribbled oil on purpose from that room all the way across here because the carpet wasn't down yet. It was just the cement. And so I was making a mess on purpose. Anyway, I was walking through, dribbling it, and you could feel it expanding. Where we walk is ours, according to the scripture. What we anoint is definitely ours. The anointing breaks the yoke of bondage and oppression and sickness and everything that's not good. And so, just like we were able to establish a new 24/7 prayer room because we needed it out of the building because of alarm issues and insurance issues, we can take what we have and expand it by faith and walk in greater things. We're moving from faith to faith, from grace to grace, from glory to glory. That's how you know if you're growing, if your faith's growing and you're moving from faith to faith, grace to grace, glory to glory. Whatever this means is this. What it means is this. Whenever you go out of here, or into here, or over there, wherever there is, you carry the very presence of God. And when you carry the very presence of God, you can change an atmosphere. You ever walked into a store, and it's like, ooh, it's dark in here, I'm going to start praying in the Spirit. And all of a sudden, that dour, sour clerk is happy. You pray, and darkness starts to move away, and people They're different. They're different. Look for spiritual appointments. My mom used to talk to me about this. She'd come home and she was all excited. Steve, I had this spiritual appointment today. I'm like, this is when I was walking with God. I was like, thanks for sharing, Mom. Time for spiritual appointments. When every opportunity where a miracle could be possible, if you're looking, guess what? Who's going to be invited to get involved? You ever been in a restaurant and somebody that's crippled walked by and the Lord said, go pray for him? That's going to start happening. And then wait and see where the conversation goes. Because they'll feel God's presence minimally. And they likely, in time, will be healed, even in the moment. We get to debunk the no hope, no future, no answers environment and move everything into a God has hope, God has answers, and he has a plan to prosper the situation that you're in kind of deal. Miracles are in you. They're around you. They come through you, and there's some hovering right over you right now. Do you believe that? That would be the key thing. So where are my elders? I'd love you guys to come up here, elders in training as well. Home group leader and assistant leaders can come up too if you want. If you have need for a prayer for a miracle, doesn't matter how big or small or medium-sized you think it is, we are here to do that this morning. Can we have that? I don't know who that music is, but you're playing earlier. Are we able to do that? Or is it going to blow the system again? We can do that. If you have a need of any kind of a miracle, or you just need prayer because you're discouraged, I don't care. We're going to start somewhere, right? So if you are ready to trust the Lord to touch you, I want you to come up and get in front of one of these teams, and we'll pray for you. And we may anoint you with oil as we feel led or not, but I just want you to be prepared to receive. And this is how you receive. You just go, Lord, I know you love me. You've seen my condition. And I'm coming forward in faith today to ask you to touch this in a way where I'm either healed or the situation, I walk away with faith knowing you're going to resolve this in a powerful way, even possibly today. Whatever it is, just come with that kind of attitude. Guess what you're going to get? You're going to get a really good answer. That's what you're going to get. So don't be shy.